Good evening. This is KGVM 95.9 on your dial from Bozeman, Montana, 95.9 FM. And this is the meditation
to
self-realization. I'm Jim.
And I'm Marion. And today we'll have a special guest, and we will introduce you to her after we do our little pause and meditation. So if everyone would like to close your eyes, and of course, if you're driving, you'll just relax in your driving mode and pay total attention to the road. And otherwise, we're going to sit with our spine straight. And we're going to do some conscious breaths. Let's make our breath slow inhales and even longer exhales. Slow and deep. And feel your jaw relax. And all your facial muscles relax. And feel your tongue relax. And now your shoulders, drop your shoulders. Feel your spine relax. And feel your chest rise as you inhale and your chest fall as you exhale. If your mind wanders, simply bring it back to your breath. Let's take an inhale together, slow and deep. And now exhale, long and slow. And we'll join in one heart, in one consciousness. In a limited field. One last breath. Inhale, feeling your chest rise. And exhale, feeling your chest fall. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and join us for this evening's meditation to self-realization.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Today we have Lori. And I don't know how to say your last name, Lori.
It's Lori LaValley.
Can you say it one more time? LaValley?
LaValley. Uh-huh.
That's not very hard. It looked French.
It is. Actually, okay. In French, they say La Verrier.
No, that's what I was going to try to do, but then I thought, well, this Polack might not get it right.
Somewhere 3 or 4 generations ago, they went, we're not doing that. We're making it easy. La Valley. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. And I hadn't heard it pronounced, so I wasn't going to try to fake French.
well, how good. About giving us a little bit of your background, maybe when you started meditating and how you got into meditation?
Thank you. First off, thank you for having me today. Fellow Montanans, unite. Yeah. that's a big part of my background. Both sets of my grandparents had farms in Montana. So, And then my parents, my mom and my dad, decided they were not going to be stuck on a farm and they were going to go do stuff and travel and go. And so they were teachers. They met in college for teaching. And this is actually part of my background of how I got into meditation. So they met in college and then went from Montana to Alaska. And they both got teaching jobs up there, which was a fantastic place to be because they got all the great outdoors too. But when they both decided to leave teaching, they came back to the States and the lower states, they call it. And we moved to Denver. And Denver, when I was about 5 or 6, and that was where my mom started getting into metaphysical classes. She always had this passion to learn and knew that there was more than the simple religious beliefs that she had been taught when she was young. So she was really open to new things and new ideas and the wild and crazy stuff that is in the physical world, right? And so then she started taking classes and doing meditation work. And then it wasn't enough for her. It was simple meditations where you just really focus the mind and get peaceful and quiet, which is an amazing accomplishment in and of itself.
Yeah, and what we just did.
Exactly. Just the and quiet the monkey mind down and just allow yourself to be in smooth, peaceful energy. Well, my mom is the type of person that wants to have experiences. So she started teaching to take groups and would get into that good energy and then go off and do things, like go see things and go visit other beings and go and eventually beings started coming to her and to the groups to do channeling work and sending guidance message through. And so this, like I said, relates directly to my starting in meditation. So mom would do meditation work at home and then in these classes. And my sister, who is much younger than I am, and I would sometimes be a part of those classes. So I can honestly say I've been meditating since I was 8 years old. But
that's quite a journey.
Yeah, but of course I was not consistently meditating every day as an 8-year old. Maybe I should have, but that wasn't really going to happen. Or it started more in my teenage years. We had moved from Denver back up to Montana with 20 stops in between, but we had moved back to Montana, and my mom then really got more into the classes and the groups and leading sessions, and that was when I did too, because by that point I'm a teenager, so I'm more self-aware and wanting to ask for help with things and really interested in doing more of this. So that was my auspicious beginnings with that,
yes,
thanks to my mom. I know that would not have happened without her input first. So
that's wonderful to have such an early childhood experience and then to be able to latch on during teenage years when that can be one of the most challenging times of our lives.
Did you see the benefits of it during your teenage years, especially in going through school or interpersonal relationships with friends and stuff, peer group?
No.
I was wondering, because at that young age, a peer group would probably think you were, you know, meditation. What do we need to meditate for?
What's all that about? Yeah. No, it wasn't quite like that. It was more that we had moved around so much that I was I didn't have any sort of steady peer group. I went to, I think, 14 schools and 12 years
of
school. So we were always moving and doing. Yeah, and moved a lot. But by the time the teenage years, what I was really getting out of meditation, which was spotty. I was still spotty meditation until I was maybe 18, 19. So what I got in my younger teenage years was comfort. I had a few really impactful meditations and dreams that showed me that I was being watched out for, that I was being supported, that I was being loved. There was the possibility of joy, you know, outside of the ego world, that there was the possibility of joy in God. And so it wasn't so much about other people or family or friends. It was more internal comfort for myself.
Well, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful fountain to tap into when you're going through so many changes in both body and the mind.
Yeah, I'm guessing that gave you a real solid foundation into being able to be still in the mind and
make right choices in life.
Yeah, make connections with other avenues of alternative thought form.
Yeah, let me tell you a little bit more of my story.
Okay.
Because these were, as for many people, teenagers, those are tough, tough years. You're working on family issues. You're trying to find your place in the world. You are trying to find your peers. You are connecting with people. And we kept moving, so I had to keep disconnecting from people, too. That was always difficult, really difficult. But the inner comfort was really helped me through some of those places. But I still wasn't consistently meditating. And I started doing that when my mom started a metaphysical center in Kalispell. We're talking about Kalispell in Montana. And it was one of those interesting things because there was a group of about 30 people who many of them had just moved to the area. It was like this was drawing the people. You know, all going to come together, and people came, moved to Kalispell. We eventually all figured this out for the express purpose of being together. And the center was, and we had people from Portland and a gal and her daughters from Florida and other people all over that all of a sudden got this sudden urge to move to Kalispell. So off they came. Anyway, so the center was a physical place. We rented a couple of places, and they were the center went for about 3 years, and that center with these about 30 people included my mom, and I had graduated from 2-year college, a community college there, and the center started the month before I graduated, so I finished college and then ran to the center to be a part of that. And my dad joined us then too. He had not been involved in metaphysics at all the whole time my mom was involved in it. He didn't believe in it. He thought it was crazy. He just exited out of that, didn't participate in that at all. Yeah, I see that too. So my dad finally had a breakthrough of his own self and wanted them to get involved in the center with all of us. With this whole center, this was when I really started being very consistent in my meditations because we were 7 days a week. It was open to anybody. Had 2 or 3 classes a day, daily meditation work, very much connected into doing that. And this was also about the time that I found Course in Miracles, which many people who are listening to this will know of Course in Miracles or are studying it themselves. And we did outreach teams and drove hundreds and even thousands of miles to meet other groups and other centers. And it was wonderful. It was really my jumping off point. I was finished with college. I was studying psychology and philosophy. Which then moved right into metaphysics and Course in Miracles, and psychology and philosophy all wrapped up in one beautiful package. So, so this was when the meditations, and this is, I'll talk about meditation. This was where we did a huge variety of meditations, going to meet other beings and other planes, doing healing work meditations, doing expanding energy meditations, working on releasing the inner belief system, the old belief systems that don't work anymore. Lots and lots of meditating together on a particular place or time or past life, and everybody in the circle in the room would tune into the same thing and then talk about their experience there out loud while we were meditating. And, oh, this is what I'm seeing. Oh, this is what I'm doing. Oh, do you see that other being that's coming? Oh, yeah. And then this happened. It was really like telling the story of something that was happening, and 10 different people had a piece of that. You know, they told this part, and then you told your part that scene, and somebody else was talking about the feelings or the look of the energy. It was very, very interactive meditations. And I've learned that's not regular.
No, I never heard of such a thing.
No, especially if we want to backtrack a little, I'm fascinated by connecting with other beings and did you say dimensions or what was that like?
And past lives and future lives. That's really interesting to connect with future lives too. So this is why my mom was really a pioneer in this sense, is that she recognized that meditation is an opportunity to shift into another energy experience, right? We're not just quieting the mind and being more peaceful in our own personal self. It's also a doorway into opening a whole bunch of other possibilities of experience.
Well, certainly our consciousness. Certainly, we tap into a greater consciousness and a limited field.
Exactly.
An unlimited field. Unlimited.
Yeah. Would you call it like soul traveling, like meeting other souls, or? When you mentioned beings, other beings.
Yeah, I would call it simple. It's very, very simple. It's that we are the ones in physicality, in form. You know, I have a physical body, you have a physical body, you have a physical body. And there's whatever, there's 7 billion of us in physical forms, humans anyway, that's not counting all the other physical forms on the planet too, but so there's 7 billion of us just here on Earth born. Well, then, because God is everything, God is one, God is oneness, then every other possible configuration of energy is possible too. So you also meet beings who have different physical forms on different planets in different energy configurations. You also meet beings who are not in the physical form at all or never have been. Of course, there's those who are physical who then release their physical body and now they're just non-physical beings. But there are also beings who've never become physical. So there's In the world of God, in the universe of God, the universes of God, and said that way, there's myriad choices. There's literally unlimited possibilities how consciousness flows and creates and connects to each other. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very easy thing to see, even here on this planet, where you connect to a tree. And it has its tree consciousness,
sure.
Sally the tree, and you connect to Fido the dog, who has his own consciousness. and you connect to Bob, your neighbor next door, who brought you over cookies or something. You know, it's all about relationship between all these consciousnesses, all these beings. And of course, what we're trying to do, and especially through the Oneness Blessing work too, but through Course in Miracles and all the other processes throughout the world, is coming into awareness that we are all part of God. We are all a consciousness within the mind of God, within the field of God. So then there's unlimited possibilities for connection and sharing. And, oh, this is my experience. Oh, what's your experience like? How's it been to be a rock? How does it feel to be a rock? Oh, well, a rock's been pretty interesting. You don't go much of anywhere, but you get a lot of peace and quiet, you know?
Well, like a rolling stone.
Right. And then every now and then there's an earthquake and everybody moves all over.
Everything moves and dances.
Or how is it to be a star? How does it feel to be a star? What is that experience like? Or how does it feel to just be an energy being with flow and movement floating in a pool of consciousness? With no form at all. So it's like God is the most playful being, supporter, energy. You can't say it that way, but God is the most playful of all. He wants to try everything. You know?
And very unlimited.
Very unlimited.
And much bigger than we can even wrap our brain around.
Yeah, and I think... you know, it's how do you explain that to Christians, Catholics, people that believe they're
I don't know that we need to explain.
Well, but they're so stuck on God as a figurehead or
the man sitting in the throne. And
right, stuff. Rather than being in the image of God, which means now you're unlimited. You could be anything.
And you are. You are.
And as...
So do we want to stop here and then come back in a minute?
Oh, because of the upgrade.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Laurie. So I like what we were talking about here with connecting with all forms of life. In fact, we just did an interview a week ago or so, and it was with Ilke and how she communicates with wolves and bears. And her next venture is... communicating with worms to get them off the sidewalk so they don't get crushed
when we're walking after a rainy day.
Excellent idea. Yes. Worms will appreciate that too.
Yes. And the name of hers is her, I don't know if it'll be a documentary or just a story, but it's going to be Look Up as Well as Down. I thought it was pretty cute, but it goes right in line with what you were talking about, all of us connecting in consciousness.
Look both ways before you cross the sidewalk, right? That would
right. And up and down.
And up and down. Right.
Okay, so Laurie, I was going to ask you, how did you ever come in contact with O&O? And O&O Academy,
that whole movement. That whole movement
Correct.
Has been amazing and wonderful and worldwide and just incredible. So I am in Spokane, Washington now, and been many places between when we were talking about Kalispell, Montana, and Spokane. But mostly doing Course in Miracle groups and connecting with Course in Miracle folks. Well, one of the people that I connected with, or two people, I should say, are David and Jamara Luma, who you know.
Oh, yeah.
They're here in Spokane. And we had, all three of us had gone to this Course in Miracle center in Wisconsin called It's either called God's Country Place or Endeavor Academy. Later years, it was called Endeavor Academy. And we had got to talking one day at Unity Church, and they went, "Oh, were you there?" And I went, "Oh, were you guys there?" And different years, but uh-huh. we both long. So then we started talking, and we became friends, and life friends. I've known them for 22 years now, I think. Just wonderful people. And so we would go to classes and groups together and et cetera, and hang out together and stuff. And then through them, they were the ones that first got connected to the Oneness Blessing Movement. At that point, that's what it was called. Uh-huh. And talked about there was a gal, a Diksha trainer in Portland, Oregon, who was coming to Spokane to do a weekend of training to become a Oneness Blessing Giver. You guys know all about that, but it's yeah. Where you to meditation, and then you open yourself up to allow divine to come through you. And we used to do it with hands on, and then you put your hands on the person's head and just allow that beautiful energy to flow through you to the person, and without you being involved in any way except being the conduit. So we all of us went to the training that weekend, and I met Joel, who is David's brother at that point, too. So the four of us went through that training, and then we decided, along with some others in the Spokane and Coeur d'Alene community, to start offering the Oneness Blessing various places. We have the three Unity churches here in this area. And so after church on Sunday, and then also before church, one church we do it after church and the other church we do it before church. Once a month, one Sunday a month, we would offer Oneness Blessing sessions. So we started getting lots of people involved and connected. And then as these things happen, you know, you connect with other groups and other people and other Oneness Blessing Givers. And there were quite a number of them in this area. Joel and David and I were really solid in this for years, years and years and years we offered this. And then, and because we're talking about meditation, which is what we really want to share here, one of the best parts of the Oneness were the beginning meditations, where we would do the Chakra Dhyana meditation.
Uh-huh.
And that was one of the best energy meditations ever. And it's in my top three, you know, top three energy meditation. Consistently super incredible energy, very open, would blow you away sometimes. Sometimes you couldn't do the Oneness Blessing because you couldn't function because you were in too much energy. You probably had that happen. And many, many times I could feel Amma and Bhagavan with us, which was interesting to me, is that it was almost like, oh, this group is doing the meditation. We're going to go check in on them. It felt that clearly they're with us too, and not for the whole thing, but kind of like for a few minutes in each meditation, we get a sense of their presence. So that was just beautiful to me. I really appreciated that. And like I said, we did the Oneness Blessings at the churches and in private homes and at holistic fairs for years. And then those meditations were wonderful. We got quite a number of people who would come back over and over and over. And can I get one of those blessing things?
Did you play them off the Breathing Room app? Is that where you played them? Or did you have other...
Joel had a CD.
Of it. Oh, that was back in those days before they had apps.
Phone apps, exactly. Those were the old days, you know.
The old days.
We would play it on a stereo somewhere.
Okay. I really didn't realize it was around that long. I had no idea. I mean, at least in the United States, I'm sure that I understood that it was in India, but I didn't know that it was already nationwide before the internet came about. Because Jim and I have only been introduced within the last 2 years.
One thing I really enjoy about the O&O meditations is how many meditations you can take, and there's actually a process going on.
Well,
I call it a process. What do you call it?
Well, we had a very clear explanation of the difference between a meditation and a process. And I think Lori would agree that it's when you go deeper in and you're actually resolving wounds and healing wounds.
That would be the process.
That would be the process. And then would you call that a deeper meditation, Lori? Or?
Yeah, I think meditation, again, is the doorway into all kinds of experiences. There's a shift in your consciousness, which is the whole point of meditation. We don't meditate to feel the same way afterwards that we felt before. We meditate to feel something differently, right? So then the process, processes, because there are multiple, and you guys are right about that. O&O is great about giving and offering. And see, this is the difference between India and America. They've been doing this work in India for, I don't know, 6,000 years,
right?
You know, and we've only been in America for a couple hundred, but that idea of the focus and the way to do it and the opportunities and the possibilities, you know, we are still newbies. We are definitely new to this realm. But the Indian
culture,
that's the word. Thank you. The Indian culture has been focusing on meditation work for literally thousands of years. And sometimes that's a little tricky because you can get stuck in that too, where you only do a meditation one way and you only expect this result out of that meditation and you never change. That's, you know, remember one lifetime in particular where it was years of the same old meditation and nothing ever changed inside of me. But the idea and what O&O does, they have meditations for abundance. They have meditations for healing childhood wounds. They have meditations for healing relationships with family. They have meditations for sending love to the whole planet. They have meditations for just quiet,
parenting,
for physical healing, meditations for parenting. They've become very clear-minded about how you can use meditation for absolutely everything in your life. It's not just a set apart thing where you meditate for 15 minutes in the morning and then just live your life. It's like, no, what do you need help with? Let's use meditation to help.
I love that too.
Yeah, I like that too. I a lot of times I like listening to Eckhart Tolle, and he's always about talking about the ego. And he does this little thing to meditate just to be still, meditate on your breath, and then let's just be still. Well, what I like about the O&O is, so you do these, and one time I asked Kamarji, I said, so this music that you play, do you play it because of different frequencies that affect the different alpha, beta, theta,
brainwaves,
delta brainwaves? And he said, yes. And so what I gather, and I don't know if this is true or not, but what I like about the meditations and going through the process, et cetera, is that then when you go down and still the mind and go into this meditation, the music, my guess is that they're hitting these frequency and these wavelengths and get you into that.
A deeper
state. And they do talk about the brain waves and mental health and how it affects our mental health in a general term. on our thoughts.
Yep. I completely agree with that. And this is also why you can use different ways of meditating to affect different areas of your personal life or your physical world or your physical body, too. One of the things I like to share about, too, is what we do within our How to Become a Christ group. We'll see the video eventually. This is,
How to Become a Christ.
Right.
100 conversations.
100 conversations with practical exercises to accelerate and expand into Christ consciousness. So again, back to the meditation and what you can do. You can use meditation too to expand completely your whole energy field to become like Buddha or become like Jesus or Ramana Maharshi or many of the other Kuan Yin, all the amazing Christ beings. That eventually is the purpose of meditation too, is to expand your consciousness to where you are living, just thinking, but living as a Christ being too. And meditation is the best way to get to that because it helps you experience bigger and bigger energy spaces. Also helps you release whatever's blocking that in you at this moment too, which is the big part. So,
and that's really
well,
key.
I like that because if you don't mind me interjecting here, I just came across a book last night that I have here, and it's Hands on Healing. And so it's a lot like Diksha. Diksha is hands-on healing. And so, you know, when you have that visualization, what was Jesus all about? Hands-on healing. How many people did he heal? You know? Mm-hmm. And so there's these thought forms, and you meditate and you connect with these thought forms, whether it's coming from a different dimension, if it's coming from Ono Academy and from the vortex at Ekum, you know, and so there's these streams of energy that keep coming through us from the universe that we can utilize if we have our unlimited conscious mind rather than limiting ourselves. Oh, I can't do that. That Jesus did that. You know, I'm not up to snuff on that. And that's so it limits us from healing each other.
Exactly. And Jesus himself said this, you will do greater things than I. And most people go, oh, my God, I don't think so. But
yeah, exactly. You know, as soon as you said
really,
that.
Really? What? I don't know. No. But it's the truth. I mean, when Jesus says something, he's not the type of being that makes up stuff, you know, when he says something, it's the truth. So we know that there's the back to unlimitedness. Here we go again, unlimited possibilities, healing ourselves, healing others, healing the mind, which heals the body, healing the emotional self, which heals the whole being. The healing is not just simply that, oh, you have a cut on your finger and poof, magically the cut on your finger is gone. The healing is really a whole being healing where your mind is healed, your heart is healed, your body is healed, your spiritual energetic field is healed. And this is what we do. That's why I brought up the book. This is what we do in our How to Become a Christ groups. Our meditations, which I had sent you some of what we do. We start with, and I really wanted to talk about this because I found that this was incredibly helpful. So in our meditation process, we start with what we call the foundational four. And the foundational four is relaxing the body, quieting the mind, calming the emotional self, and then being centered and clear and open. That's the goal of the foundational four, is to get your normal consciousness into a quiet, peaceful, centered space. Because then, when those areas, physical, your mental, and your emotional selves are in a peaceful place, then more energy can flow through you and you can be open to the higher energies and the bigger consciousnesses. So then after we do the foundational four, and sometimes that's our whole meditation and that's all we do. And sometimes that's just 5 minutes just to get into a good space. And usually it's about 10 or 15 minutes to do that part. And then we raise our own personal energy. We intensify our energy or expand our energy or speed up the vibrational energy. That also corresponds to theta, delta, well, alpha, beta, theta, delta. Those energy. Mm-hmm. But you open up your personal energy field to go faster, to be more expanded, to be more open. And that's our job. That's our job to do for ourselves, is open our own energy field. And then the third thing we do within our meditation work, we have five parts. We don't necessarily do all five parts every time. But the third part is to ask for guidance. And this is the part
ask for what? We didn't catch the ask for what?
Ask for guidance.
Guidance.
Because this is the part that I love the best, because it makes sense to me that if I want to learn to become a Christ consciousness being, that the best person to talk to about that is someone who's become a Christ consciousness being, right? Duh. If I want to learn about accounting, I don't go talk to a lawyer. Well, maybe I would. If I want to learn about accounting, I don't go talk to a baker, right? If I want to learn about becoming a Christ, I don't just go talk to a person who's never done a day of meditating in their life. You know, I want someone who's been there, who's done that, who knows the path, who knows the way. And we're very clear in our work that there are hundreds and hundreds of Christ beings. We do not mean Jesus the Christ. There are hundreds of Christ beings available to talk to. Just in the Christian world, they can't call them Christ. They usually call them saints. Like Saint Francis was absolutely a Christ being, but you can't call them that. But and then, of course, there's all the Christ beings in the other religious fields, as well as no religious field whatsoever. So the guidance piece is the next super important piece. You do the calming yourself down, raising your own energy, and then you're expanded and open so that you can hear or feel or see or sense, everybody does it slightly differently, a Christ being, and ask them for guidance and help. And this is the exciting part, because once you can connect to a Christ being, they can take you places that you would never have dreamed of going on your own or by yourself, or help you have energy experiences that you don't have enough energy of yourself yet to do. You know, it's more still sleeping energy, untapped energy for you, but they can help you open up those areas.
Right. That really is key, that becomes a teacher then for us.
Exactly.
A guide, a teacher. You're asking for guidance, you're being guided. As
Getting help.
Does, yeah, when we do manifest or, you know, do meditations with her. She's teaching us to get into that consciousness.
All right, I'm gonna throw a monkey wrench into this.
Okay.
All right. So now we're talking. I'm presuming we're talking about these physical guides, like Prithiji or a priest or a gnome. That's what I want to get to, because in my mind, I'm thinking Okay, you ever do a pendulum? And if you're doing a pendulum to check things out, you're asking for a guide. A guide might be another being.
Universal intelligence.
A universal intelligence as your guide, your own divine self, your higher self as your guide. What's about that?
Most people do not want guidance. Haven't you found that to be the case?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And haven't you found that to be the case within yourself as well? You want to figure it out yourself. You want to do it on your own. You want to not have anybody know anything about you. You want to just be an island unto yourself.
Okay, so Marianne was resistance. Just poking me in the back.
I think
when
it's
you
called
said
resistance.
No, stop.
Well,
and we all have it.
Yeah, we all have it. Mm-hmm. That's how come mm-hmm. we know, because okay. we have it.
Okay. Exactly.
You can identify it. Mm-hmm.
You can't point to anyone else because you're the one that has the resistance.
Right.
We all
in
do.
Capital That's letters, true. Even.
Yeah. Resistance with a capital R. Yeah. So what I found is incredibly helpful. You can develop your own intuitive abilities, your own asking for help within. That's absolutely spot on. And if you ask another being for help, just like you don't go to school, you don't go to your algebra class and teach yourself algebra, right?
No, I was terrible at algebra.
Yeah. Jim especially did not teach
it
himself.
Work. And my guide felt so sorry for me.
Yeah, had no idea how to get you past that algebra hurdle. But the teacher knows algebra. And if they're a good teacher, they also know how to teach you how to learn algebra. Not just teach you algebra, mm-hmm. but teach you how to learn it too. And this is the difference in following your intuition, which you absolutely, that's the best thing you could possibly do is follow your own intuition. And add this in, add both pieces in, and also get a guide who has shown you the path, who can show you the way, who also back to India, this is their teaching for thousands of years, is a guru will help you go places you can't go by yourself, or that would just take longer. Sometimes it's just easier to do it that way. And also they will help push you or invite you or encourage you to go past your resistances, because this is
the
what
nudge.
You really want.
The nudge. You
the
nudge.
Need the little nudge.
Yep, exactly.
Or the
and
big
to have,
nudge.
Or the shove off the cliff. But,
yeah.
but that's the thing a lot of people are very afraid of, is that they're going to be forced to do something they don't want to do. And that's
well,
the thing
that's...
I have learned is that never is the case that a true teacher, if you allow them to nudge you, they will nudge you, you know. But if they don't, if you're not ready for something, it scares you too much, and you say, no, I'm not ready to do that yet, they back off. They say, okay, let's look at the fear then. Let's work through this fear. We won't go to that place until you've released some of the fear you have about going to that place, or letting go of that block, or releasing the grievance, or offering forgiveness, or healing something. There's an honoring, because we're all equal children of God. We're all equal parts of God. So I can't force you to do something you don't want to do, because we are absolutely equal in God. And even if the student doesn't realize that yet, the teacher certainly does. And the teacher is not going to push you, because that's not honoring, that's not loving, that's not kind, that's not the way God is.
Right. It's not.
So that's what I tell people who are afraid of guidance, because, oh God, what if What if Mother Mary tells me to leave my family and go become a bag lady? Everybody always talks to me about, oh my God, I'm going to be homeless. I'm going to be a bag lady on the street. And it's like, no, you won't. But that's the big part of our meditation, is to open up, let go of those fears, let go of those blockages, to getting the guidance, because the guidance will help you with absolutely everything in your
every
life.
Every step of the way.
That's really big for a lot of people, including me. I must admit, my biggest fear, oh gosh, I'm getting into the spiritual path, and then now I won't ever be able to do this again or that again. I'm going to be under it, some kind of discipline. And so there's where I have sometimes resistance, you know, and it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
And so that's my fear factor, you know.
Yeah. Getting yours and almost everybody else's too. Almost everybody has that. And that's part of why it's so tricky to let go of those things, is because how does a loving being, which a Christ being is a loving being, how does a loving being connect well with a fearful being? It's two different ways of being in the world. And the fearful being, which is all of us, not just you, Jim, all of us, I certainly am that myself, the fearful being has to ask for help and has to have a little bit of trust that it's going to be okay.
And that shows some readiness.
That's the readiness.
Readiness to take the next step or to go a little further.
And the beings can see that. They know us. They know us inside and out. They know us better, literally, literally better than we know ourselves. They know us. And they can, because they've been there too, right? This is why you get somebody who's done this path already. Because they go, yes, I remember when I was afraid of God too. This is what I did to get past that fear. And it's so much better to not be afraid of God, because then you get surprise. You get God's love and peace and joy and happiness and contentment and power and energy.
An unlimited gift.
That's the prize. That's the prize of going to God, is that you get all that wonderful stuff. So that's the third part we do in our meditation, is open up to let people begin to start opening to guidance. The fourth part is to then connect more deeply with Christ beings, open to where they would like us, what they would like to show us, or what they would like us to experience. And then the fifth part of our meditations are going into beingness, into that really expanded beingness place where you're in the peace of God, or you're in the love of God, or you're feeling the joy of God, or you're connected to the unlimited expansiveness of God. So in our meditation work, this takes time. It takes time to get through the foundational four and the raising the energy. Sometimes we do meditations for an hour or two, and you just keep opening to those deeper and deeper energy places. So this is not something that you just do in 5 minutes and then you're done for the day. These are things that take some dedication and some time and some willingness to do them. And we do these regularly throughout the week. So if anybody, I wanted to make a point of saying this today, if anybody is interested in connecting with our groups and being a part of our Zoom groups and our Zoom meditations, they can contact me at HTBAChrist, which stands for How to Become a Christ, HTBAChrist@gmail.com. And of course, just send me an email and I will send you emails about our groups and the link, the Zoom links and all of that kind of stuff. So
great. And then your group meets weekly or monthly or?
Daily.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Daily. We have three or four groups sometimes every day. And we have groups that also are in Germany. And we have people joining us from Australia and Africa and India and America, of course. So we have people that are all around the world. We also have a translation channel in case there's people that come on that don't have good English skills, but somebody maybe can translate for them.
Great. I'm glad you were able to share that information.
Yeah.
So let's
before we depart here, because we are out of time, why don't you give the contact info one more time.
How to become a Christ, and it's HTBA and then the word Christ written out, CHRISTHBA Christ at Gmail. And just send me an email and I'll send you some information about what we're doing and when. And we've timed it so that you get groups all different times. Because, of course, as you guys know, when you connect with India, it's 13 and a half differently than it is here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, Lori. I so appreciate you coming on and joining us on our meditation to self-realization.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a real joy having you. I love your enthusiasm for meditation.
Yeah, I want to thank you personally for making me understand my fear factor a little better.
It's yours and mine and everybody else.
Yeah. We all face it.
Yeah.
So we have a song that we sing to our audience, Lori, and so we'll get to sing it to you too.
Yeah, and if you want, you can join us in if you have a long time son.
That's the name of it. May the long time sun shine upon you.
All love surround you. And
okay.
All right. Ready?
I'm not going to sing, but I will let you sing to me. That will be
okay. I'm going to serenade you.
All righty. May the long time sun shine upon you. All love surround you. And the pure light within you. Guide your way on, guide your way on, guide your way on. You are in the divine.
Thanks again, Lori.
Yay, that was beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, and to all our listeners, we bid you
farewell until next Thursday.
Yeah.
Same time.
Okay.
9 to 10 KGVM FM 95.9 on your dial.